meeting to order. It is, looks like four on the dot. Jen Scott, Board President.
Marty Cosgrove, Board Vice President.
Chris Moody, Board Member.
Denise Westbrook, Board Member.
Alan Safford, Director.
Shannon Owens, Director.
Lance Manlove, Board Member.
Andrew Rogers, Board Secretary.
Lauren Wisely, Board Member.
Heather Graham, Board Member.
Debbie Pease, Board Member.
Ode Johnny, Board Member.
Joe Shell, Board Member Emeritus. Not voting.
And not at all surly.
But I'm going to try.
Eric Anderson, Executive Director.
And then we have two guests. We have Sarah Messina, and then we also have Brian Dayton. Welcome. One quick change to the agenda. Number four, oh, I guess like, you could have done that yourself, but the indoor track team update is not happening, so we'll just X that out. Okay, approval of minutes. Has anyone had an opportunity to review the minutes? Any changes?
I move we accept the can.
Oh my gosh.
I will entertain a motion.
I'll accept the meeting for Joe. I'll second that.
All right. Chris, motion. Marty, second. Any discussion? All right. I move that we approve the minutes from from November 14, 2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. That was a little rusty, sorry. I haven't made a motion in quite a while, or I haven't done any action. Sorry. Okay. I'm giddy. I've been here all day. We had the lottery. I'm a little goofy. Public comments? Any public comments? Public, any comments? Going on. Okay, moving on. Executive Director report.
All right. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Yay.
So there is an indoor track team. It's a new DIAA sport that we've introduced, and they are competing. And actually, they couldn't be here today because they have a competition today. So. Hopefully, the plan will be to have them here in December. February to give us some account of their experiences.
So did you say that's a DIAA?
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's official, like a new sports team.
Right. It's an official. There's no actual facility in Delaware where they actually could practice. So they practice outside when it's warming up. They run around the halls. It's very typical for high schools that have indoor track teams to do that. Tower Hill still does have an indoor facility, but they don't open that up anymore for high school competitions. I'm not sure exactly what they use it for, but that was a big place where the high school indoor track meets occurred. So now they go to Maryland. I'm not exactly sure where in Maryland, I forget, but they compete in Maryland. So, there's been great feedback. And
that's the best kind of team there is. Yeah. I don't think it costs us anything.
Right, how about it?
We don't have to do any work.
That's great.
Is it high school only? Sorry.
It is high school only. It can be open to eighth graders as well. All of the high school sports are eighth graders are eligible to play. Yeah. Let's see. So I'm going back to November because even though we didn't have that many school days in November, December, and January when we combine them, there's going to be some events here from back in November. Our Fall Fling event was on November 16th. And it was a lot of fun. I think Gina's reevaluating if she's going to do that again. But it was a nice event.
How much money did we make?
Event. I think that's still, we didn't lose money. I think it was like around $5,000, something like that. But don't quote me. That's through the event, through silent auction, hot items. Gina could give you those final numbers. In December, our new chief custodian started, and I meant to ask him to attend today, and that kind of slipped my mind. So he'll be here next month so that everybody will be able to put a face with a name. Everything is working out very well. He's really hit the floor running, and the custodial staff have really quickly have adapted to the change. The morale's high. and everything, all is well in that department. Our middle school students completed a mini health expedition on November 19th and 20th, right before the Thanksgiving break, and that went off very well. It concluded with a mini health fair where people came from the outside, including our and even our school constable, Mark Albert, participated in that event. So it was really nice. We had our high school musical, our fall musical, Little Women, for three nights in December. I hope everybody had the opportunity to go and see the show.
It was fabulous.
It was. I mean, the quality of the show is like traveling Broadway. They really are impressive. And if you can't hear the music, our auditions for Grease are taking place right now.
Go walk the halls. It's hysterical. I mean, it's crazy what's going on out there.
So our high school musical Grease will actually be the first weekend in April, and I'll be making an appearance in it. So I haven't been.
Are you the principal?
No, actually, Mindy Heady will be the principal.
What?
I'm going to be Vince Fontaine.
Oh!
That will be. I haven't done any theater since high school, so I'm a little nervous. But I couldn't say no to them. And we have the middle school musical, Lion King Jr., and it is the cutest thing I've ever seen. They get to hear them sing as they're rehearsing. That's going to be in February. We don't have it on the calendar for some reason.
It's not on the calendar.
It is. I checked.
And why wasn't it coming up on mine?
It was. I
both lost it. You're lying. You just went over my shoulder and I was looking, and you could not show me where it was.
It was
color-coded. Okay. What are the dates,
Andrew? What are the dates?
March 8th and 9th.
Oh, March 8th and 9th. Okay. You're going to call me out like that, Andrew?
And recorded, yeah.
For the whole state to hear.
Speaking of which, while you breathe, whoever came in late, could you please announce yourselves?
Franny Silcock.
Steve Burke, treasurer.
Okay, thank you.
All right, throw me off. All right, so it is March 8th and 9th. Our holiday party was a huge success at Dogfish. Teachers all very much appreciate it. Teachers, all staff, very much appreciate it. Us having the holiday party, and they also appreciated the holiday bonus that they received in their check.
At the last board meeting, you guys approved, so we gave everyone a $300 holiday bonus.
Nice.
And I said teachers, but all staff were there. We had custodians. We had all of our staff at the holiday party. It was a really nice event. When we went away for our holiday break, and we came back on January 2nd. Should I call out a calendar issue there, Andrea? No. We came back January 2nd from holiday break, and on that Friday, we had our alumni come back, and they came in to speak with our seniors about their college experiences. We also, for our seniors that graduated last year, we had a little IB presentation for them, and we honored and awarded and distributed the IB certificates that students earned last year. And then afterwards, everyone went to Mulligan's Point, where we had about 40 alumni in attendance, and they got to let everybody know how they were doing. We had staff there, so it was a nice event. Debbie, did you want to add anything about, I know that you were very happy with that week or that day. I don't know if you wanted to add anything, like especially some of the things that the students said when they came back from college.
Oh gosh, they all seem to be doing great, and some of them are taking that slightly circuitous journey to their destiny, but in a very purposeful, thoughtful, and reflectful way. In other words, like some of them have launched from a local college and already transferred somewhere else to pursue their major. So anyway, it was just really nice seeing all of them. They're doing really well, and they universally have said how well Sussex Academy prepared them for college.
Given that we have 98 graduates and yet 40 back, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's really good.
We kicked off our strategic plan. We got about 30 applications for community members, staff members that were interested in serving in the steering committee for the strategic plan, and we kicked off that process with our first meeting last Thursday. And we have Susie, Uday, chairing committees. We are going to need another chair for our committee, so you want to make
yes.
an announcement now?
Yes. Eric and I received an email today from Brian Trout, who has resigned his position on the board. Unfortunately, he is just feeling very overwhelmed with work, and also he is helping to coach the indoor track team, and you know, he's got kids playing a lot of sports, and he just didn't feel like he was able to give the board the time that it deserved. So he's resigned his position effective immediately. So I don't really know what to do. This hasn't happened in my time on the board. I think we'll just be as we are until the end of the year, and then we'll just fill his seat starting next year. I think that makes the most sense. So anyway, we are in need of a committee chairperson for the third strategic planning subcommittee. It's commitment to professional excellence is the committee. So if anyone is interested in volunteering to do that, that would be really great. Otherwise, I think we'll have to ask one of our faculty members who are on that committee.
Jan did a nice job.
Yeah, of course. Eric and I are attending all the subcommittee meetings, so you know, I can't really commit to being a chair of one of those. So just mull it over, people. Mull it over. Last
year, maybe Debbie could do that.
She doesn't have anything going on.
I'm just messing with you. Since that schedule's off your plate. So we'll provide updates as we get information, but one thing I can just say that it was a great meeting. A lot of people came with a lot of great ideas, and a lot of stuff was very much on the same page, and there was a lot of agreement. There wasn't really much judgment that took place. So it was very inspiring about people who have come with their ideas of what they want to see for the future of our school. So yeah, we will keep you updated as we have information to give you. I forgot the banner. Well, yes, last Friday, Secretary Bunting delivered a banner to our school, and we took it down to Heather Moore science class because Heather Moore had Secretary Bunting as a gifted and talented teacher for fourth and fifth grade and just loved her, so I thought that was the best place to take her. So we went down, and Dr. Bunting presented students with an Exceed Expectations banner, which we'll be able to hang out front of our school so everybody can see it. I believe 44 out of the 258 schools in the state received one of these banners.
No money, right?
No money comes with that. the state board is talking about Secretary Bunting. The State Board of Education has now rotated where their meetings are going to be held. So now they're not just being held in Dover, they're rotating between Dover, or Kent, Sussex, and Newcastle counties. And this month's meeting will take place in Sussex County at Seaford School District at 5 p.m. So if anybody's interested in attending to see what a state board meeting looks like, it'll be held tomorrow at 5 p.m. At the Seaford School District district building. Also, last Friday, it was a busy day. We had a filming crew in, and Gina did a very nice job of orchestrating and planning where the filming crew would go, and we're going to be putting together a promotional type video so people can see what Sussex Academy is all about. It could be like a virtual open house. So, you know, all students and all people aren't always able to come in person, mm-hmm. but this would be something that would be able to put on the internet so people could get a virtual feel of what our school's like. So it's just, again, expanding that access to those who maybe cannot get to us. We had our first snow day of the year on Monday. All right. I also have to commend our custodial staff with the changes and our staff changes. They did a very nice job of getting out here on Sunday, icing, snow removal, and then also again on Monday morning. We did originally call a two-hour delay in the evening on Sunday, but some of the back roads, especially on the west side of the county, weren't very clear. They were just pretty dangerous. And when Sussex Tech made the call to close, we decided to go and make the same call. But Seaford and Laurel were also off. And we have to remember, even though Cape and Indian River kept the two-hour delay, we pull students from all over the county. So even though people who were on the east side of the county might have thought that the roads and neighborhoods were in good condition, that wasn't so much the case mm-hmm. on the other side of the county, and that's what makes us unique.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say one thing, is that it wasn't confusing because we had already called the two-hour delay,
mm-hmm.
but we have to make a decision about whether or not we're going to stick with what Sussex Tech does or act on our own. Because we made the two-hour delay, and granted, we called everyone, but that was not in line with what Sussex Tech does. And our practice always has been to follow Sussex Tech. So if we're not going to follow Sussex Tech, which is fine, we just need to make sure that we inform our parents of what the new procedure is.
So we'll send out something that we will do our own thing, just because if they want to make that call in the morning,
yeah,
you know, after we made the call, that's when everybody else
right.
and made the call. You know, I think that it's important for us to make our own decisions. We're
yeah.
an individual entity, and we have that power to make our own decision, and I think that's important because that's what's best for our families.
I don't know why we haven't all these years. Oh, Andrea knows why.
They have a transportation supervisor that
who's like out on the streets.
And like us, have kids from all over the mm-hmm. county. That's why we've always followed them.
And that's why we made the decision to close. I mean, mm-hmm. I think regardless, we knew that with the forecast, it was going to be icy in the morning. It was just made sense to make the call.
Yeah.
And we would follow them yeah. afterwards. So I think that we probably will piggyback on what they do if they make the call before us. But if we think that it's, for example, I spoke to our custodians, and with the snow removal, they said there's no way that we could get in here that early. With the way it looks, we're going to need a two-hour
yeah.
delay. So we knew we needed to make that call
mm-hmm.
that night. And so I'd rather make that call that night, allow people to sleep in, and then wake up and you know
right.
figure that out versus scrambling in the morning.
Yeah,
people appreciate that.
I agree.
Yeah.
So today we held our lottery. All right. We had a record a number of applicants, 287 for the sixth grade, 64 for the ninth grade. This year we also had 56 siblings. That meant the preference. So when it came down to actually pulling students for available slots, we only had 49. The first 49 that were pulled were offered seats or will be offered seats. And then number 106 were put on the wait list for our middle school. And then, as everybody knows, for our high school, our middle school students don't have to let us know their intent to return until March 15th. So once we have an idea of how many have committed to return, we can then go to that list of students that was pooled today and offer them seats based on how many we have from our eighth graders not filling those spots. Jen and I spoke today to a reporter from the Cape Gazette who was doing a story on how different schools do lotteries. I think that went really well. I mean, we kind of went into it not knowing what to expect, but it was all good intent, and it was just, you know, someone who was curious and putting a story, which I think is great because it's giving us media attention.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
it's getting us out there. And it was a very good conversation, I would say, with you.
Mm-hmm.
Today marks the end of the second marking period, so we're officially at the halfway point for the year. Tomorrow our high schoolers will be going to new classes. If they have semester classes, our middle school students won't change their exploratories until Monday. They're going to go through the end of the week. And our goal is to get report cards out on time this year. So no teacher grade extensions this marking period. We want to get it out on time, so we're going to get it out on time.
So when is that?
Friday next week, I believe. Am I right?
25th.
25th, next yeah, next Friday. Friday. Is that next Friday already, the 25th?
Yes.
Jeez. We've had a math consultant coming to work with our math teachers. Our math department have now been presented with different curriculums, so they're going to be spending the day on Friday to review different curriculums, talk about vertical alignment, and talking about the possibility of accelerating our math program earlier in the seventh grade, talking about a possible a placement assessment for our sixth graders when they come in, so we can identify where their strengths or weaknesses are up front. So those conversations are going to be taking place during the day on Friday with all of our math teachers, middle school and high school. We have our eighth grade recruitment breakfast also this Friday. So we'll have high school students coming in to talk about their experiences, and we will be doing our best to convince our students that this is the best place for them to be for high school, because that's what we really believe, but we want them to believe that. So that is our goal, to keep as many students that are in our middle school to continue in our high school. Our senior class trip to Disney will be February 13th through February 19th. All right, so Ms. Messina is here. She's put in a lot of work. Yesterday we had our parent meeting. There's a lot of excitement in the room. The students are extremely excited. It's going to be a good trip. And I'm going on the trip, and Scott's going on the trip. So right there, hopefully.
My kids are thrilled.
We will have
beyond excited that I'm going.
We will see firsthand how the students handle it, and if this is something that we will make a tradition at Sussex Academy. The last event or happenings that we have our Sussex Academy Crush event at the Starboard on February 9th. So Gina has been sending out emails, so I encourage everyone to attend.
This is instead of the gala this year, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if there's any questions regarding the event, see Gina. But she will continue to contact you about it. I wanted to just give some, let you know about some student accomplishments. All right, we have some students in our middle school and our high school working with Ms. Smith and Ms. Sherman to bring a recycling program here to Sussex Academy. So they have another meeting tomorrow morning, I believe it is. It's either tomorrow morning or Friday morning. Tomorrow morning. So they'll be meeting tomorrow morning. They've been meeting with outside agencies, so the kids are really excited. There's a lot of energy behind it, and I'll give you an update, but it looks like it's going to happen. I think they're going to start on a small scale, maybe with a recycling bin in every classroom, and then maybe extend it to the cafeteria and so on and so forth. But I will continue to update you as that proceeds. I wanted to recognize some of our students that participated in the Scholastic Writing Contest. All right, so we had 46 Sussex Academy students, including two ninth graders. So a majority of these students were our middle school students.
Eighth graders.
Eighth graders.
So almost 40% of the eighth
44
graders.
44 eighth graders. 44 eighth graders and two ninth graders. And I said there was 46 of them. They got 52 awards. So they secured 52 awards. So they earned 31 honorable mentions as well, 17 silver keys, and 4 gold keys. So they also, the 4 gold keys are the ones who will move on nationally to compete. So Mrs. Hugis led this, and she has a list of the students who won, along with the topic on which they wrote on. And I've asked her if there's a way that we could access the actual writings to read. So if I can get that information, I'll send that out to all of you.
What was the organization that awarded these things?
Junior Scholastic.
Huh. They pick a category. They enter either a journalistic piece, a poem, a narrative piece, and then they submit a piece of writing. They did very well with journalism. That was the big winner. They do a nice job with their journalism. So.
And the topics are pretty impressive to think that eighth graders are thinking at that level or thinking, you know, very mature. So it's nice. Oh, and one of our swimmers last night, Trey Mitchell, he his first time in school history, but it's quite an accomplishment. After last night's swim meet, he has qualified for states for every swimming event.
Awesome.
Yay. That's great.
Way to go, Trey.
That's great.
Tom Martin is wonderful. Trey's wonderful.
Well, as a coach, you know, if we have a team that we're going to slaughter, who will have kids swim what they don't ordinarily swim, both to give them experience swimming events they don't normally swim, and also not to crush the other team more than we have to crush them. So he's been great for Trey and for the team.
That's awesome.
And then the last three items that I have are probably items that may generate more discussion. That's why I saved them for last. First is the charter modification that we submitted was approved. So I want to thank Alan because Alan did all the work on that, and we were able to get that in, and it was approved within a week, which is impressive. It is on the board agenda for the state board meeting tomorrow. So I don't know what kind of conversation or discussion that would generate. But I plan to go to that meeting just in case it comes up. But it has been approved already. Minor modifications only need to be approved by the secretary. And I believe other schools, I can't remember the exact numbers, but other charters submitted applications for minor modifications, and they were all approved as well. So, any discussion on that or questions? Great. So, in discussions, when I've been meeting with high school teachers about course offerings for next year, and one of the departments that I met with was the science department, and we discussed the need for science lab upgrades. So what I would like to do is I would like to bring somebody in at least to come and estimate how much work that would cost us to do the needed upgrades. Some of the upgrades stem from concerns that certain labs can't be done, so they can't implement certain programs like our IB chemistry program. We meet the minimum, but there's a lot more that they could do, and we really don't want to limit their opportunities based on facilities. And then there's other classes, our biology class and our integrated science class, where there's lab limitations as well. And then there's just simple compliance issues that need to be addressed to make sure that we're in compliance as well when conducting science labs. I did go and talk to the foundation board yesterday about the possibility of this being a capital project for them to fund. And so I think the first thing we would have to do is bring to them what we want to get done, how much it would cost, and then go from there. And there's also the community foundation also has capital grants that can be up to $25,000 that we could also be eligible for. But again, we have to know what we need to get done. Right. Any discussion on that? All right, the last one is I've been meeting with the MYP high school teacher team, and there was an unanimous vote that they feel that they do not want to continue with the path of MYP officially. They would prefer to be able to do things in-house. They did feel that it's things that we're not doing or things that we can't implement to what we're already doing versus paying the money to continue with this and to also have to meet the demands of certain check-ins and checkpoints. Because there just really isn't the time for teachers to do that, and I just think they would have time better spent other places. So we still are fully committed to our diploma program. That program has been in the works for several years, and we've found a lot of success with that. I would maybe have our teachers come and talk about MYP, why they, if you would like to hear from them, or MYP of why they wanted, they don't feel the need that it's necessary for us to continue. We do have a teacher that came from an MYP school who could share her thoughts. But is there any discussion around that? I support that decision 100%.
For the record, could you define what the MYP?
So the middle year program for IB. Right. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
I just have a question. I mean, the high school teachers that are trying to teach IB, do they feel it would be a handicap to the kids once they get to high school to not have the MYP program?
So I met with the IB teachers also, the ones that teach in the diploma program. And one of the things that might be more beneficial is if the teachers that don't teach it actually go and get the training that the teachers who are teaching those courses are getting. And then that way they have more of an idea of what to expect or what is going on in those classes. Mm-hmm. That way they can put that into what they're doing already. Mm-hmm.
So we may do some of the training without doing the certification.
Right. So the certification, the way the teacher said it to me is we could do it well, but without Big Brother watching.
Correct.
Without paying the money, because there's some pretty, strict deadlines you have to meet, and I think Debbie can talk about the bear of what we have to do already as far as paperwork and compliance and meeting things for the diploma program. And just to tell you, we have a group of teachers that they're just not vested in it. And I think that that's something, that buy-in is 100% important. And the buy-in is not there. And when you don't have the buy-in, I don't think you're going to implement with fidelity. And I think I don't believe it would be successful. And I think there's other things that we could focus on that would move our school further.
Eric, how much money have we spent on the...
So right now, I know that we've spent money on training, which came from the Calder grant. Alan might be able to speak a little bit more.
We spent money on training, and we spent money on stipends for teachers to meet in the summertime and to write units as part of the application process. And we paid for the candidate fees.
So if you add that all up in round numbers, what do you think it is?
Probably close to $45,000 or
$50,000. Did the teachers have an opportunity to express their opinions before we decide to go into MYP?
Yes.
Middle school teacher.
I wasn't here when that decision was made.
Right.
So, and there's nobody here from there to kind of talk on that. But I think that would be a good group to maybe convene and have some board members come and ask those questions with them there.
But it sounds like that money is not necessarily all down the drain if the training is beneficial to preparing.
The training's definitely beneficial.
I mean,
they've written some of the units, but there's still so much work that they would need to do to be certified as an MYP school, and that was giving a lot of anxiety to the teachers.
Are there any stipulations on the Calder grant?
So I had asked Gina to review and give me the grant, and when I read through the grant, I didn't see anything where there was any specific deliverables that we had to go through and become a certified school. It was just really talking about that money being spent
on
for the training for that purpose.
And so
they deserve a letter, though, from
right. No, absolutely. And Gina's on top of that. Once we're finished with tonight's meeting,
my biggest concern is that originally, as I recall, we moved towards MYP because we felt like we needed to do something more to prepare our 9th and 10th graders to move into the IB program in 11th and 12th grade. That would encourage more kids to enroll in IB classes. So I guess I'm fine with not officially doing the MYP program. However, the need is still there for kids to be better prepared for those IB classes. So I want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're still fulfilling that obligation.
Yeah, there's been actually several conversations led by the teachers on ways that we could do that with supplementing with possible AP courses, also by accelerating our program earlier with our math in the 7th grade. That way our students could possibly take a junior level math course when they enter with us for high school, and then meet with AP calculus class to prepare them even better for an IB HL course in their junior and senior year. That's just one opportunity, but that also lends, if we accelerate our science curriculum or we're able to have students take things and be able to take biology in ninth grade and the AP bio, say, in 10th grade, and then go to IB chemistry. And this was suggestions that were brought down when I met with the IB diploma teachers. These were things that they were saying that they felt were better ways to prepare the students.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that of our 72 seniors, I think it's about 60 are taking at least one IB exam. So without MYP, our students already feel prepared enough to, tackle that kind of college level work. So. And I think with a strong, what they call vertical articulation from grades 9 feeding up, we'll get there. I think we already have that, actually. Mm-hmm. It just needs, as always, some more strengthening is good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, it's my impression that we've somewhat moved away from expeditionary learning in the middle school. Mm-hmm. Do we have to have something for the middle school? Do we have to be something or no?
I think those conversations are taking place in the strategic planning committee.
I didn't know if there was a requirement from the charter that we have something.
Well, I think it'll be from 6 through 12, it should all gel.
Okay.
Any other discussion on that?
Okay.
All right, I'm gonna eat. Stop talking.
Moving on.
There's food, please.
Oh yeah, there's dinner, so please eat.
We are. Can you announce yourself, please?
Yes, John Sabota.
Thank you.
And then Susie Mitchell. Also came in. It's about 4:05.
Okay. Monthly board financials.
Does everybody have one of the famous scorecards out in front of them for
yes.
the month?
I hand deliver them to people over here. Do we have extras?
I printed extras at my home.
Yeah.
If anybody needs one. Everyone have one? Looks like that.
Hold on, I had mine and someone stole it. I'm going to use Eric's notes right here.
Got it?
Got it.
You need one shot.
So, This scorecard is not a replacement for this packet. Just so you know, all the information that's summarized on the scorecard is in this packet, with the exception of what's on our balance sheet. What's on our balance sheet right now, you can see on page 2 and 5, relative to cash. We have $5.4 million in cash, and $2 million of that is in reserve. This is a summary of the income statement on a year-to-date basis versus our current budget. And we're actually doing 2 months in at one time here. So we're covering both November and December on a year-to-date basis. The past couple months from a revenue perspective have come in above expectations. From a district funding perspective, we're more or less done collecting the funds from district. There's like 7,500.
Yeah, there's two districts that still owe us some money.
Who?
Capital and Lake Forest, but it's a total of about $7,000.
It's
and
small.
I'm pretty sure it processed earlier this month.
From a state funding perspective, I think we get the balance of our funding, or we got the balance of our funding in early January with some small exceptions. So we had like $1.2 million come in early January, not reflected here, but the state funds are more or less collected. We do believe that there's, we continue to believe that there's upside to these numbers in terms of revenue, specifically on the state side, which we've already seen, which is about half of what we expect to see in terms of favorability versus the budget.
Why do we feel the state will be more money than we had budgeted?
Because we've already collected through January more than our budget.
Because we can pay more per student or more students?
Our preliminary budget was based on 43 units, and we ended up with 44.5, so we got more units.
Our units were higher than what we had initially budgeted.
Does units higher mean
more money.
Kids?
Yeah, more kids
more
means
kids.
More units.
Because
yeah.
Units is it's a word that term of art
yeah.
as compared to something understandable to boards
yeah.
or anybody that might be listening.
All right.
I think the initial budget was done on 770 students, I want to say, and the, mm-hmm. and the final came in at 795, which supports the 40, nearly 44 units, so 44.93. Again, with the CBOC, the Citizens Board Oversight Committee, is going to meet in February. At that time, we're going to take a look at all the trending information that Alan has from a revenue perspective and from an expense perspective. And sitting here right now, I'm guessing that most, if not all, of our need to tap into the reserves is gonna go away in that meeting.
All of our need with the salary increases?
Most of our need, if not all, to tap into the reserves this year, in this budget year, should go away.
Okay, so does that mean that moving forward, we will be able to absorb into operating funds the increased salary numbers due to the, you know, the leveling and the scaling of the salaries?
Yes.
As well as principal repayments, as well as interest payments on our debt?
Yes.
What's that total right now?
We're still interest only on two of the loans, so this year it was close to $500,000.
That's correct.
And then I think the June, one of them goes to principal and interest, and then December, the other one goes to principal and interest.
So by this time next year, we will be all on interest and principal. The principal is a 40-year payout period, right? We're 37 now that we've had 3 years of no interest.
So.
That's really, really, really great news.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we have to take a good hard look at it, and these are preliminary estimates, but it's either a small amount of reserves are going to be required to cover the remaining expenditures or nothing. So we have to take a look at that.
Yeah, that's great news.
So between November and December, they were, from an expense perspective, November was very low because October had some early payments in it, specifically for busing, and there was a double up on the rent payments or the debt payments we pay for the school. So November looked very low from an expense perspective for those of you that go in and look at it, and December was relatively high versus kind of a monthly pace perspective. And the reason why December was very high was because it was a big salary month for the most part. There were bonuses paid to the teachers, coaches, stipends, and that drove us over our monthly average in December. So
we also had a big bump because we had paid the IB exam fees in December, and that was $30-some thousand.
Yeah, but that was in
that
supplies,
from the
right?
Yeah.
Do
that.
Don't we collect
a
that
portion
from
the, of it?
Oh, a portion of it. Okay.
We collect about half.
Okay.
Students, depending on
lunch
status.
That's okay. Okay. Contract services are, as you can see, running at pace with the budget right now, but that's a little deceiving, and that's one of the items that we have to take a close look at in February because we think that we have some downside there, some additional expenses associated with some of the ongoing security costs that the school is absorbing specifically. And there's some increased costs to get the computers ready for testing, and some additional busing potentially that we need for some of the sports programs that were unbudgeted. It sounds like there are more trips than what we had planned initially. So there may be a little bit of additional costs needed to finish out the remaining part of the year in contracted services. Supplies and materials, that was, December was a high month, but as Alan has mentioned, it's really because of the IB exam. The instructional supplies were very high in December, but nothing that should take us off trend for the year. So, I didn't see any other anomalies in the data at all. I think we're going to be in good shape for the balance of the year, and hopefully next time you see this, it'll be green.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you.